Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
It is the Mixcast. I'm Steve Mix. I'm here with the Reverend in Fuego.
Hi.
Glenn Cannon.
Good. Well, day. Whatever time you're listening to it.
Exactly. Nice.
I always forget that, man. I always forget that.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Happy
good day,
Kwanzaa.
Sir.
Plus, Glenn brought a few of friends, some people I know as well, which is very cool. Some fine men from the West Seattle Wrecking Crew. We've got Phil, Ed, and Parker hanging out with us as well. You guys good?
All
yeah,
good.
Man. We're all good.
We're missing a set of headphones?
No, I'm giving mine to Ed.
Ah, okay.
Crap.
Son of a bitch.
Damn it.
That's all right.
He gave me the shirt off my back, too, and he said, man, that stinks, and he handed it back.
I don't think we're going to have many things that are going to be playing audio because we're going to be talking a lot about the big show that's happening on Thursday. The Beating Heart Benefit for Life Center Northwest happening at the Highway 99 Blues Club. We'll talk about that in a second. But before we started the podcast, I just wanted to give one quick story from my trip to New York because it stopped Glenn in his tracks. And it's so for the longest time, I always tell my wife about my dad and how he's got temper issues. And he can have meltdowns maybe 5-6 times
what's
in a day.
What's the slang term for what is it? Aggressive Steve? What do we
Confrontation Steve.
Confrontation Steve.
Yeah. So okay.
We've got
genetic.
Confrontation Dad.
Yeah, it's genetic.
Yeah, Confrontation Bill is on another level. Mine's a friend like whenever I like to get into confrontation with random people, like argue over a parking spot or argue over something, but I do it more just for the comedic level of it because I just think it's fun just to see people get uncomfortable. And it's never like I'm going to fight you or anything like that.
I love confrontation, man.
Yeah.
I build on it, man. So many people shy away from it, man.
You and Phil should go bowling.
Dude. I feed on it, dude. I love watching people get
upset.
I'm
the guy, when someone tries to cut a line, I'm like, do you not see there's a line behind you? And just to see how they're going to react. I don't really, if they said, yeah, and I didn't care, I'm like, all right, cool. I just wanted to have this moment with you.
Yeah, and everybody always thinks that I'm not from Seattle. They're like, oh, you're confrontational, man. You must not be from here. I'm like, no, man, I'm born and raised here, man. That's just how
it's a rarity.
It's just my dad was a dick.
My dad, though, is the kind of guy that would get into fight. He's like now 70-ish. Seven? And he'd still throw down with somebody if he had to on like a subject.
Hopefully your dad's
just beat me to a pulp.
Yeah.
He'd be out there like, that's my friend.
Yeah, so anyways, we go to the Devil's game. And he paid for a parking spot ahead of time. We park. We come back. It's like one of those valet-type parking, but they let us park himself. But I saw the other cars. So he parks his car. And when we came back, there was one car kind of in front and another car parked too close next to him. There was a window where he could get through. But I was trying to walk my dad through that, and he was just not turning quick enough. And I was finally at the point where I'm like, let me take the car, and I'll do it. And he didn't trust me because it's his car, and I get that.
He's still your dad, dude.
Right. Yep. Right. So I'm not going to fight him.
You may be, tell me how to drive.
Yeah, you might be more capable, but you're still his son.
Right. So mind you, while all this is going on, I'm holding his cane and my mom's cane. And he says, can you go find somebody to move that car? Like, sure, I know that, like, time is of the essence before my dad snaps. And my mom's in the car, my wife's in the car. So now I'm running around the streets of Newark, New Jersey, which is not necessarily the best, but I'm trying to find
Did you still have the two canes?
Yes.
The world's
like
worst
some
superhero.
Kind of crazy, you know, Ninja Turtle, yeah.
I'm walking with intention while holding two canes in my hand, looking for the parking attendant guy. People are backing up.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Is that your car with two canes?
It's because you got two canes in your hand.
I got two canes. A wood one and an aluminum one. So I'm ready to go, depending on which league we're going for. So anyways, find the guy. He kind of backs up thinking I'm trying to... I'm like, hey, man, you got someone's car from your crew is in front of my dad's. Can you move it? He's like, oh, yeah, I'll be there in a couple of minutes. Things are just crazy right now. I'm like, that's fine. No problem. I forget my dad has no patience. So I go back. I'm like, yeah, the guy's going to be coming any minute. 30 seconds goes by. I'm not even kidding. And my dad goes, can you figure out how to get into his car and move it?
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, I'm not going into another man's car. He's like, the key's probably under one of the tires or something along those lines. He's like, just go in the car and move it. I'm
Be
like,
quick,
dad,
boy, or we'll end up in jail. Now right. Get moving.
I'm like, dad, I'm not going into another person's car and moving their car. It just, as much of a great story this will be, I do not think, I would be genuinely pissed if I came and saw somebody in my car moving it, even if they were
I'd
in the right.
I'd wig out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's someone else's car.
It'd be on.
So I'm like, no, man, the guy's coming. Let's just have a little patience. It's going to be fine. Another 20 seconds goes by. He's like, F this. If you're not going to do anything, I will.
Oh,
I was like, oh,
no.
Boy.
Yeah, but see, he can get away with it, though, because he's old. I mean, if Glenn comes out and there's a 75-year-old guy in his car.
Then actually, I wouldn't blow up.
What are you going to say?
I'd be like,
you're in a lose-lose situation here, because if you fight the guy, then you just beat up an old man. And,
right.
And then if you throw your hands up and he kicks and then he takes you down, then you just got beat up by an old man.
Dude, you know me. I'd walk up and be like, sir, do you know where you are? This isn't your living room. I know that. Okay.
And why aren't you wearing pants? So anyway, he gets out of the car and he's pissed right now. I could feel the embarrassment from my wife in the back. Like, she's just like, oh my gosh. You know, my wife does not like this kind of stuff. She doesn't like confrontation. She doesn't like drama. She does not like my dad having a serious meltdown outside of a New Jersey Devils game. So now he goes to the car, tries to open it. No luck. Tries to another door. The back passenger side door is unlocked.
No way.
Here we go.
Opens it. Leans over to unlock the driver's side door, opens that now, and now is looking for the key to the car under the winch, you know, under the visor, under the front door, the front tire.
Yeah, this is happening.
Watching this, and I'm like, how do I discreetly film this? I can't, because I know my wife's going to get mad. My mom's in the back. She's just acting like this is no big deal.
I love that you've acclimated to our times to the degree where you're like, I need to be filming this.
So he's now, not trying to break up the situation.
If it was 1958, Steve would have like a sketch pad out. Doing a charcoal rubbing of the event.
Now, is everybody sober?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Okay. Although, that's a valid question.
No, you're right. Dude, there was a moment during that experience
breaking
where
into a car.
I was like, Dad, I'm going to go to a bar. I'll come back after like four or five shots because I can't handle this. So now he opens up the driver door. And I have a picture of it just so you have proof to see what I'm seeing right here. There is my dad.
He's all bundled up proper because it's cold in New York.
He's got his Devils beanie on. He's got the door open.
Go Devils.
And now just lays his hand on the horn until somebody shows up. And I'm talking over 3 minutes.
So just, bah!
And we're just sitting in there, and I'm like, my wife's like, I can't believe this is happening.
It's like palm in hand, you know, palm in face.
Yeah.
It's just...
And I'm just watching this. I'm like, well, if the guy comes over pissed, now I'm going to have to
fight
with my dad.
Yeah. Your dad would be like, hit him, Steven. You got a bob and weave. Bob and weave.
Right. This is not a father-son bonding experience
get
I was expecting.
Boy.
So I'm like, this is not going to end well. He's like,
no, it's not.
My wife texts me, I can't believe this. I'm just like, well, this was my childhood, basically, in a nutshell. To which her response was, I never understood the level. I am very sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's incredible,
You have my greatest sympathies.
And I'm finding great entertainment in this, but it's like, I could tell, like,
she sees you through a new set of eyes.
And my mom.
Attention as you can get away with now.
Oh, gosh, dude. My temper tantrums seem like nothing now. Like, she always was like, I know you get your temper when I have minor temper moments, but when I do, it's definitely from my father. And now she understands, like, because this was like next level. Guy shows up. My dad's yelling at him as he's walking. And the guy, I think he realized that
priest.
He didn't want to mess with crazy. He's just like, I'm sorry, sir. He gets the keys. The keys are in the back tire. They were sitting on the back tire. My dad checked everywhere but the back tire.
Wow.
Nice.
But given the circumstance, I can see your dad, like, nice. You know, putting it in neutral and walking away. That'll teach him, you know. And then,
yeah.
I was like, almost tempted. I was like,
just ghost riding the whip.
Yeah, just off it goes, man.
When the horn thing happened, I actually thought, you know what, Dad? I'll put it in neutral. Just give it a little shove, and I'll swing it into a spot. It's better than this scene. So then it all unfolds. The guy moves the car. He doesn't. It's like as if the guy. I think he just realized I do not want to mess with this guy. My dad's like losing his mind. He's just like, I'm sorry, sir. Blah blah blah.
Well,
moves
yeah,
the
you
car.
Get to the point where you're breaking into somebody's car. At that point, man, yeah, you don't want to mess with them.
A 77-year-old man who just broke into your car,
and you're holding two canes.
Yes, while filming or trying to film it with an old woman that's 74, my mom, and my wife, who's I believe sunk underneath. The seat at this point.
She's
oh, God,
missing.
Yeah.
She's under the floor.
So
mat,
I send
man.
That picture to the guys on the show.
Yeah, all like, you're missing at this point is like an 8-year-old daughter cheering you on.
Yes. That would have been amazing. So, anyways, we get out. Dad starts the car. He's got this damn satellite. You know, he's got the Sirius Radio XM and it's on the Christmas station. And now he just starts singing Jingle Bells like as if nothing happened.
That's incredible.
Nothing wow. happened.
I want to go drinking with your dad, dude.
Dude, it's hilarious. And I'm just like, are we going to ignore the fact that you just broke into another man's car?
So that's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Well, that's what my wife said. She's like, how has he not had a heart attack? Because he had like seven more meltdowns.
He's perfectly calm.
Yeah, Steve's back there like, honey, he wasn't upset. You're misunderstanding.
He gets it out and he's done and he moves on. He's happy again.
I can kind of relate to that.
That's so fantastic.
So that was our week in New York in a nutshell. I mean, obviously, there were a few other meltdowns. He almost killed my mom. That was also pretty awesome.
Oh dear!
Like by running her over. Like legit.
Oh, wow.
So
we were leaving
a problem
to
with cars.
Yes. Yes. And you were right. We're leaving to go back to the airport and we all get in the car, so he thinks. My mom is still getting in the car as he starts hitting reverse. And I turn behind, I see my mom skipping. Trying to like not get run over by the
Hurry
door.
Up, woman.
So finally I'm like, Dad, you trying to kill mom? He's like, what? And he didn't realize that the door wasn't so open. Slams on the brakes. My mom gets in the car and he goes, Roseanne, buckle up already.
That is an old school man right there.
I'm like, no, sorry, hon. I almost killed you. Buckle up already.
Buckle up.
Wow.
Yep. It was a great time, man. It was good to see mom and dad.
Your mom just really must have a sense of humor in order to put up with that.
She does.
So
she just
years.
Laughs everything off. I think, you know, yeah, you're together for 50 years. They just celebrated their 50-year anniversary.
That's incredible.
And I think a lot of it has to do, and like we both said, like, my dad has the perfect woman for him. Nothing phases her.
She's good.
She laughs everything off. Yep. He goes nuts. She laughs it off. It's a great time.
I ran into this guy on the beach once that was married for like 55 years. I was like, man, what's the secret? Because I just got married. He just, without any hesitation, and he just looked over at me and goes, cheat.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Again, another old school dude.
Get some
vouchers.
That was not the answer.
You don't have to explain those sores when they flare up.
Wow.
He's like, you gotta have something on the side, man. Just no what? Hesitation.
Why don't we have Father O'Bannon?
We never have
great seeing you.
We never have those audio clips whenever they talk to that old person. Like, what's the secret to life? And they're always like, drink whiskey or, you know, have some beers or, you know,
cheat.
Have affairs. It keeps you young.
I think I'll pass on that one. Thanks.
Oh, man. So, Todd, let's talk about what's going on with that everyone here that's in the room, because this is something really cool that Glenn told me. He's like, hey, man, it'd be cool to have a couple of my buddies come in. And, of course, A, we're fortunate enough to be able to play on this show. Yeah. But let's tell everybody what's going on.
Well, so I introduce everybody. So we've got Phil Kennedy here.
Yes.
He's the promoter of the Event It. I think
congrats.
I've had too much coffee or not enough.
There you go.
It's salted.
Yeah, it is salted. Undernourished and over-caffeinated. And then Ed Maloney.
Yes.
From Highway 99. Which is where the show is going to be this Thursday, and then Parker Lundgren sitting over here. Say hi, everybody.
Yo.
Yo.
So, I'll just hand it over to Phil, man. Why don't you talk about the event and tell us what's going on, bro?
Oh, well, I can tell you I'm ready for this to happen. I can tell you my wife is ready for this to happen so she can have her husband back, because it seems like the my life is just consumed with staying on my phone all the time and shooting a million emails and trying to put this thing together.
But dealing with musicians is an easy thing to do.
Putting together events. Yeah, it's like herding cats, man.
I was just saying, I'm sure Ed can attest to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ed, do you like...
Dealing with a musician trying to be a promoter is a whole other level.
Oh, dude. It's funny, in doing this as long as I have, and I say it, I'm like, look...
Fair enough.
Musicians are terrible. Terrible people. And yeah. People always laugh, and I'm like, you think I'm kidding?
Horrid creatures.
They're terrible people, man. Like, I'm sorry I bothered you. I know you want to get to your next bong rip, but regarding the show you're supposed to play Friday, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
have you sold any tickets?
What?
Oh, I won't even get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like I'm trying to wrangle up a bunch of bass players. It's tricky business. But no, it's great though, man. We're really got the ball rolling on this, and it's happening, man. And it just kind of started out as a thought, and we talked about it for a while, just really wanting to like reach out to the community and do something that's just bigger than us, to do something special, and hold a charity event, and you know, really really be involved. And this time of year is it's kind of a special time for us, and it's bittersweet because December 4th, which is today. Is the 2-year anniversary of our friend Joel Eggert crashing his motorcycle.
Jeez.
And that was rough. That was rough times. And so the 8th was the last time we all got to say our goodbyes to him. But this is, you know, the 6th is the event. And so it's a commemoration of Joel Eggert, but it doubles as a charity for Life Center Northwest, who is the organ donor foundation that helped facilitate the transplanting of his organs and give life to so many people, and
including a heart.
Yeah, with his heart, with skin tissue, all kinds of stuff.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And we're actually flying Jet Rose Lawrence down from Alaska, his heart recipient, and so she will be here. Our other member for the West Seattle Wrecking Crew, Bender, he's flying up to Alaska to escort her onto the flight and bringing her back to Seattle on Thursday. And then she's going to be staying in...
Can Bender help me next time I go to New York and I need to get out of a parking situation with my father?
He would actually be the perfect guy to do that.
I'm not sure you want Bender on that task.
No, he's the perfect guy for that because he's so positive, man. He would just make...
No, look under the back tire.
This little blonde guy that talks really fast said something to me about my car. I'm just going to continue my meal.
Just take a breath, bro, man. Everything's going to be fine, bro.
I don't know if you've met Bender. Of course, our whole audience hasn't met Bender, but that's not far from really accurate impersonation.
Oh, I thought he was saying, so he is a positive. He thought I thought it was, you know, when you call a big guy tiny, I thought it was something, the most negative man in the world.
No.
Everything sucks. You all suck.
Yeah, it was actually funny. Our buddy Zach, he was sitting in the bar with us, and we were all like tears in our beers and stuff whenever Joel passed away. And we were all just really, really worried about Parker, because Parker's on tour, and we're like, man, it's really got to be really, really hard on Parker right now with, you know, with not being around all the family and stuff. And just Zach leans over, he's like, dude, Parker is fine right now because he's with Bender. I'm like, what? And he's like, no, seriously, Bender's like the happiest guy in the universe, man. He will cheer Parker up because he's just gonna be like, dude, Parker, bro, it's gonna be fine, bro. So we're gonna get together and we're gonna have shots and we're gonna honor our brother, dude. It's gonna be fine, bro. It's gonna be fine. And that's kind of Bender in a nutshell.
So let's go all the way back first. Just so people know, the music is going to be incredible there. So obviously the money is being raised for the Life Center Northwest. We're going to get to be a part of it, Glenn and I, with Bruiser Brody, which I think is awesome, featuring Parker Lundgren of Queensryche. Parker's joining us on stage, which is going to be a blast. Nice.
Yeah, that was... So when we first started doing this event... there was no bands booked yet, and so Glenn and I are like, well, we'll do something, so, you know, even if we can't get anything.
Yeah.
And then Bruiser Brody came on board, and I'm like, all right, so now what? So, I'm like, I guess I'll play a song with Bruiser Brody.
I think the poster went live on social media, and up on the phone with Parker, and he's like, so,
what's up?
How do I do? Like, you're welcome.
You know, and I pulled a Bender. I'm like, oh, dude, it'll be cool. We'll figure this out. He's like, okay, you know. But yeah, Parker came down last night to Bruiser Brody rehearsal and jam with us. And
which was a blast.
Give more away than that, but it's going to be really cool. We're going to do the triple guitar threat and, you know.
Sweet.
Let Parker just completely unbuckle and do his thing. It's going to be cool, man. It's really going to be happening. Right. Rehearsal last night was a blast, actually.
Yeah, wait, you guys rehearsed?
We rehearsed. That's how much we care about this show.
Wow.
We rehearsed for this show.
Well, we're doing something
which
else,
which actually
too.
Is a rarity.
Yeah. That's a big deal, man.
Well, Travis Brott had the idea of doing a particular song, and It was something we were kicking around for live day potentially, and it didn't happen. But then,
because we weren't able to practice,
we couldn't get together.
before we were going to play a couple hundred thousand people on the radio.
Yeah, we couldn't rehearse before we were going to play 200,000.
We didn't practice.
I rarely rehearse before a game.
I will say that we played incredibly that day.
Felt good.
You guys sounded amazing on live day.
We got through it.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, I'm telling you, Rev, like by the first chorus, my internal dialogue's going like, sweet, everyone did their homework.
You know? Yeah. Well, it's a group project, and nobody has been hanging out together to work on the group project, and you're just like...
I hadn't even seen Travis in a couple months.
The last time I saw Travis was the last time we played a show, which was a few months before that. Yeah. So it was a good practice.
Hey, good to see you.
I'm just looking forward to hearing Everyone's Dead again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a running joke. You weren't there for that conversation, but Phil was saying our buddy Alex that rides with us, he's part of the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, because you gave him a CD.
He's got the Brody record and apparently put Everyone's Dead on repeat.
Nice.
And when I say on repeat, I mean apparently for 40 minutes and Alex singing at the top of his lungs.
Yeah, in the car.
And like physically accosting Phil and screaming the chorus at him. So when they played it Sunday night on Loud Local, Phil just kind of got quiet. And it's like, do you not like this song, Phil? He's like, I'm going to need a moment for personal reflection on this.
37 times ago, I liked it.
Yeah, and then I get into my car the next day because we got a little soily and we freaking had to go down and pick up our car the next morning. As that happens frequently, and I get into the car and I turn the ignition and it's just Everyone's Dead. I'm like no.
There's other songs on the album.
Yeah, nine other ones. We can enjoy those.
Yeah, haven't heard any.
Let's skip number eight.
We're gonna play the set we're gonna do is really cool. That's part of why we got together last night and that was a thing too where I sent up a flyer kind of middle of the day like, hey, we've discussed this. Are we doing this? And immediately Travis was like, yeah, I spent a lot of time working on it. I've got it together. And everyone else in the band was like, right. I'll begin learning it right away.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. You know, I put it on repeat on my Apple Music while I put up Christmas Lights to learn a song that we're going to be covering. Fortunately, it's by a band that the drummer doesn't do anything other than the same beat the entire song.
Congratulations, sir.
So I got the easy deal.
Yeah, meanwhile, I spent 2.5 hours picking apart all those layers and trying to put it into one cohesive guitar part. And it's a band that features a lot of synth pads, and I'm like, how am I going to cheat my way?
Kaiju Gugu.
I got to cheat my way past that somehow. So I need to ape the guitar parts while also mimicking the keyboard parts.
Have a kazoo in your mouth or something as you're going along?
Yeah, I got a kick drum on my back and a tambourine between my knees. And
one man band.
You're going to make this happen.
And I'm like, oh, the same beat gets repeated. And I was like, I don't want to do it that way. I'm going to change it to the way I like to do it.
So anyway, you can hear Bruiser Brody cover YYZ Thursday night at Highway 99 Blues Club.
Also, Wyatt Only in the Wreckage are going to be playing. John is from 10 Miles Wide and Intasar, who's incredible, and she just put out a new song, and that's really awesome. And then also Siren Sister, which I have not played, I think, in years.
No, I don't think that's really exciting.
Zach from Vendetta Red. It's also Jeff from Bruiser Brody and Duff McKagan's Loaded. A bunch of other great members also are in that group, too. And I remember being a big fan of their record. So that's going to be exciting to see those guys perform.
Yeah, and Vendetta Red actually just put out a new album, too.
Yeah. So good stuff, man. Yeah, yeah. Good stuff.
That was kind of unique how I ended up meeting Zach from Vendetta Red is our kids went to preschool together. And just naturally, you know, like, hey, birthday parties, you know, and then they're coming over. And
such a rock star way to.
Yeah. And next thing you know, I ended up throwing my daughter. I asked my daughter what kind of theme birthday party she wanted. She's like, I want a rock star themed birthday party. And so we made my wife made like concert tickets for her birthday. And then on the bill, I had Darcy Carlson play at my daughter's birthday, and then Zach Davidson from Vendetta Red, and then Glenn Cannon showed up here and played at my daughter's birthday also, and it was awesome. He's up there on my deck like hiding below and just kind of staying out of sight because he knew what was going to happen.
Phil shot me this look
hiding below.
I tried.
They said hiding below. I'm like, what are you throwing, man?
Man, when you're going to be around that many children, you need to be on your toes.
And then there's Glenn hiding cocaine from the children.
At my daughter's birthday party.
That's nice of you to hide the cocaine from the children.
This first song's called The Mule.
and then my kid, she grabs the microphone from Darcy and was like, everybody quiet, I need your attention. Glenn Cannon's in the house.
My
wife got me a cupcake that was vegan for my birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
Can you plan my birthday
what's
party?
What's a vegan cupcake like? Was it pretty tasty?
It's almost as satisfying as a regular cupcake.
Did you
cupcake?
Eat McDonald's later almost. In your Jeep and cry?
Maybe.
After that, you had vegan cooking for one.
I'd love to talk to you guys. I know Glenn shared the story with me, and it really blew me away, just the backstory. I always thought that the West Seattle Wrecking Crew was something that you guys were all a part of before Joel's passing. I did not know that that was a tribute to Joel. And I don't know if, well, Glenn, you've shared it. Maybe Parker, you could talk about your relationship with Joel and just the bringing together. The backstory behind your group is incredible.
Yeah, well we were I was on tour at the time when Joel passed away, and so we were, you know, everyone was kind of planning for his memorial, and a friend hit me up and was like, hey, so Joel was having these shirts made. It was like a Harley logo that said West Seattle Wrecking Crew, and he wanted it to be a surprise for all the guys we ride with and stuff, you know. And so that was the first time I had heard, you know, of that, you know, that phrase. And it was supposed to be this, like, kind of vision that he had for a motorcycle club with all musicians. And then, you know, he passed away. And so cool. I thought the best thing to do is to have patches made and give those out at his memorial to 30 guys that I thought that he would want them to go to. And that's kind of how it all started. So
wow. Yeah. What a great tribute.
Yeah. So
I don't know, Glenn mentioned that to me. I was like, whoa, man, yeah, that's a heavy
kind of a. Yeah. Well, Parker and I were talking about the other day, and I kind of said, you know, we're sort of memorial riders. So it was the best way I could think of to sum up our group. Because as Phil's pointed out, like Sunday night when we were talking to Kevin Deers on Loud and Local, mm-hmm. it's all musicians or people that are really invested in the music community or work in the music scene or community in some way.
And Joel was a massive supporter of the local music
huge,
scene.
Huge, yeah, and a musician and a songwriter mm-hmm. as well. So, yeah, and so that kind of became, I guess, the tribe. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we all ride together and hang together. And then, you know, this is the first event I think that we've tried to put on together. It's been, Phil was like, I think I'm going to do this. And then 2 days later, it was like, this is in progress, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's a cool thing. And so I think a lot of it's about honoring someone we love and miss. And of course, all of us just staying together as a tribe of brothers, you know?
I remember you even called me because, like, that's one thing with Bruiser Brody. I'm like, man, if we could just not ever play on a weeknight, that'd be great because of my schedule. And then yeah, I remember you called. And, but I remember you said, hey, here's the thing. It's on a weeknight, but this is why. I'm like, oh, F yeah. Like, let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do this.
One of those musicians who just wants to work Saturday nights. Interesting.
Yeah. Friday, no. In all fairness, I'll work a Friday as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you know we kicked that idea around of having it on a Saturday, and you know, this it's Ed's club, and we kicked it around a lot, quite a bit, and ultimately we decided on a Thursday because we have so many friends that are musicians that end up playing gigs on weekends, yep. and we didn't want to leave a lot of people out, and we have a lot of friends that work in the industry as far as, like, you know, bartenders and waitresses and stuff, and the weekends are usually a really, really busy time for them, so mm-hmm. we figured if we did it on a Thursday night, which is kind of the new Friday.
And it's Sunday or Thursday, but we figured everyone would be too hungover on Sunday.
Yeah.
So we got to head out.
Yeah, you just got to power through a Friday. Big deal.
Sunday's a day for regret, man.
And it took on a whole other meaning on another level because then the news came out about Highway 99 Blues Club, and that's Ed's at your club. This is one of the last shows that's going to be happening there, huh?
Yeah, the last show is actually New Year's Eve, and I guess after this whole thing was organized, we got the news. We found out about a week before Thanksgiving. Just, you know, last year trying to strike a deal with our landlords, the unknowns of what's going to happen when the viaduct comes down. And, yeah. We just couldn't strike a deal that was, you know, worth the risk of sticking around. So for now, yeah, this is one of our last shows.
Damn, yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't think about the whole viaduct thing. What a colossal.
That's like a debacle on so many levels. Yeah. Seeing Highway 99 goes.
That's a kick in the balls right there. Yeah.
And we've made it through a lot over the years, too. You know, we made it through the recession and, you know, various construction projects in front of us. And this one's just, you know, we needed the rent to be really righteous in order to even think about 2019. So,
yep.
You know, we're kind of thinking beyond in different ways we're going to promote the club and see if we can't resurface somewhere in Seattle, which is increasingly difficult in this town these days, you know.
Yeah, they make it a little hard for people to have music venues in a city that was built on being a music city.
Yeah.
It's sad. Yeah. You think about it.
The Liquor Control Board alone makes that challenging, really challenging, you know. So, but yeah, you know, it's another great reason to come down Thursday. I mean, obviously, it's a really cool event for a really great cause. And, you know, I got to meet some of the people from Life Center very recently. Because Joel's going to be featured on their big parade float, actually. Mm-hmm. So I got to meet some of the people, you know, involved with that. And, you know, they were kind of stoked because no one's really done anything like this to shine a light, at least in what I would call our community. Let's say the music community or the rock community or whatever, you know, because it's kind of across multiple barriers and genres there. But, you know, to have something like that shedding light on what it is they do, I think was a unique thing for them. So, and a lot of those people are going to be down at the event as well.
That's
so
cool.
You know, you look at it and it's, you know, some of the last times we get to enjoy Highway 99, which is a really special place that we hate to see go. And then
tragedy.
Yeah. And then, you know, in this powerful event, it's a very heartfelt thing. No pun intended, honest to God. You know, it's a pretty special night, so I hope people can join us and come down.
I'm looking forward to it.
Support Highway 99, support Life Center Northwest, you know, and support the family of Joel and all of us.
I think it's one of the great things for the club is over. I was saying this, excuse me, on Loud and Local the other night. You know, Joel, we've done a lot of fundraisers over the years. You know, we've probably each year we try to figure out a way to get like 20% of whatever our revenue would be back into the community. And usually finds its way through ways of like musicians and medical, or unfortunately arrangements for falling artists and their families. But you know, Joel did so much for the music community, as you were saying a few mm-hmm. minutes ago, and specifically for Highway 99. The guy never rolled in without 15 to 20 people. And you know, that's what you need. And I'm, you know, the wrecking crew is not afraid to pick up a bar tab. You know, so that's what keeps this place open. You know? So having one of the last fundraisers be a tribute to Joel is just is full circle, man. It makes you
wow.
No pun intended, as well, Glenn. Yeah. But it really warms your heart. You know,
that's amazing.
So I think we're fortunate to be able to have had Phil and the crew put this together for us with the unknown of, you know, everything going down.
And if people want, they could go to the on Facebook. If you just type in Beating Heart, Bruiser Brody, something along those lines.
You do a search for any of those things. You'll find the event page. Tickets are available through Highway 99's website.
What's the Highway 99 website?
Highway99blues.com.
Cool.
Two numbers,
cool.
Nine. You can spell it out too. We got a whole bunch.
And the nice thing is everything, the show starts at 7 p.m. So we're not talking about like your typical late night. So even if you do have to get up the next day, hey, if I'm getting up at 3 in the morning the next day,
yeah,
you can get up too, brother.
Brother.
Yeah. And we're going all out. I mean, we got some killer merch. And I don't know if you got if you saw any of the stuff that was flying around on Facebook.
I saw the PBR inspired.
Yeah, man. That's just awesome. I mean, Ed's wife, Britta, she really, really put a lot of work in that, along with Joel's daughter Rhiannon and Wyatt Olney. They really, really put a lot of time and effort into kind of perfecting that and dialing it in and making it just right so we could get it printed on some t-shirts, and it's going to be awesome. We got but it's a limited amount, so if you get there soon, and because doors open.
I'm going right after today.
Yeah,
I'm just going right there.
Yeah. Doors open at 6, shows at 7, but I mean, the merch is limited, but tattoos won't be limited. We're actually, our buddy Lance, who's also West Seattle Wrecking Crew, he's a tattoo artist at Slave to the Needle, and he's going to be there doing Life Center Northwest tattoos.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be set up on site, if you're familiar with the layout of the club.
Yeah.
You know, but he'll be there all night doing ink for people that want it.
Yeah, so if you want to, if you want to donate to the cause and become an organ donor, then there you go. You get to, you know, slap some ink on your skin at the same time, you know, and for something special.
I want to ask because I know, Parker, you're here. Queensryche, what's going on in the world of Queensryche?
We got a new album coming out.
Yep.
Yeah, so that comes out in March, and right now we got a lot of downtime, so we finished the record, and now I get to hang out with friends and do fun stuff like this, some charity events, and got a guitar shop I'm working on. And
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
That I've been watching just everything on Facebook, and it just looks like it's really just kind of blowing up now.
Yeah, I've always kind of like...
yes. Diablo guitars.
Yeah, yeah. So guitars always come and go, you know. If you're an obsessed musician like Glenn and I, when it comes to guitars and tones and stuff.
I have a guitar habit. I'm guitar-ed.
Yeah. So, yeah. So
there's a nice play on words.
So now it's an excuse. So I, you know, buy them and sell them and fix them and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, but we got a shop called Diablo Guitars. It's actually down where Studio 7 was. Another... Mm-hmm. Classic concert venue to shut down
it's
in
gone.
Seattle.
Yeah,
so which is sad, but yeah.
I recommend people finding your Facebook page because you always post all these pictures, and it's just, if you're a guitar guy, you're probably going to
they get a lot
empty
of
your wallet a few
really
times.
Really cool.
It's pretty sweet.
Cool stuff through that shop, and I'd say too, and I'd put up a thing on Facebook as well just saying if there's something particular looking for. Parker probably knows how to find it. So if you're like, man, I'm looking for, you know, a late 70s Les Paul custom, or I'm looking for, you know, a mid 60s Strat, give Diablo a chance to hunt it down for you, because, you know, dude, it's a musician running a guitar shop. You got to love that, right? You know, that's someone you can trust. You're not going to get burned by someone like that. You know, they'll hunt
Diablo.
You. Yeah, right. Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I trust the devil.
I just love it. It's also called the Axes of Evil.
Yeah.
That's awesome on the sticker.
I love the logo, too. This logo is so cool.
Yeah.
Established
66. You want to tell the backstory on the logo, Parker?
Oh, yeah. So, Casey Brookbush. Is that how you say the last name?
Yeah, that's how I would say it.
Yeah, he's a local artist, and I've always loved his stuff. He does like lots of musicians, and
he's been involved
paintings.
With the 10 Miles Wide guys. And
does
a lot of really cool art. Yeah,
yeah, he's awesome. And so I just wanted to like kind of devil face because I already had the name Diablo Guitars, Axes of Evil, and I was kind of telling him the idea behind it, and he's like, "All right, well, I need a spot to start because I got to do this by scratch. You know, if it's going to be a legit image that you're going to own and it's going to be like yours, he's like, I can't just grab stuff off the internet and start Photoshopping or whatever, you know? And he's like, so I got this photo of you I'm going to start with. I'm like, wait, no, that's weird.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, no.
What?
That's weird. And so I'm like, well, he's like, I gotta use somebody's face. And I'm like, Joel. I'm like, I found a photo of Joel kind of with this evil grin. He was probably up to no good that night. And sent that to him. And he turned it into that logo.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
really cool. It went full circle, you know.
I'll get Parker to show you guys the images. But the initial sketch is just this beautiful sketch of Joel. And then the next one, you can see where he's...
And then they add horns.
He's morphed it a little bit and tweaked it. And then he morphed it and tweaked it. And so, slowly, you can't tell that... Maybe it was necessarily the origins of Joel's face, but that's what it was born of. And Parker was like, you need to see this. And it's like four different stages of the initial sketch, and then it's slowly becoming.
That's badass.
Really, yeah, it was really happening. Parker's like, you need to see this, man, you know, and shot it out. We have like a group chat within the club, and he was like, you guys all got to see this. And it's really neat to watch that unfold.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
My favorite one is, too, is like the second sketch. He's got the sketch of Joel's face, and then the next one over is just the sketch of Joel's face with devil horns.
Yeah. But, you know, you don't want it.
You
don't want it to be Joel's face. Let's augment it now that you've got the thing. But yeah,
well, once you say, I'm like, because I was like, oh, is this going to be a sketch of you? And I'm like, trying to look, I'm like, I don't see you in this. And I'm like, okay. And then when you said that, I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And this is a silly question, but I always love talking to people who've been on the road with bands and obviously played some pretty high profile shows. You guys play all over the world. What's a favorite memory that you have from being on tour with Queensryche? Like something that when you came back, you're like, I can't wait to tell the fellas this story.
Probably when Ronnie James Dio kissed me.
What?
Dude, so you were the man on the Silver Mountain all of a sudden. You were like a goddamn rainbow in the dark, bro.
All right, we need to hear this.
Yeah. That was
a
weird.
Parker in the dark.
Now that was
sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was. We were in Italy. Dude, I was like 21. I didn't know what was happening. You know, it was like my first time being in Europe.
Did he have to step on a stool to get to your
Dude,
lips?
Yeah.
Did he have to step up on something?
I didn't say on the lips, man. He just. You know.
Where did he kiss?
I felt like
open mouth, huh?
Like, it was like he was my grandpa or something. Like I'm proud of you, son. You know,
pinched
like,
your cheek or something.
Like my forehead. Yeah.
Oh,
but
man.
No. He,
like the Godfather.
Yeah.
Come over here.
No, we. So it was us and Motley Crue. It was us and Motley Crue and Heaven and Hell and a bunch of other bands. It was in Italy, and we got done playing. And I've got all my gear with me. I'm trying to get through the door. I got like you know two guitars and an amp, and I got no free hands. And I'm trying to kick the door open. You know, like where you kind of push it with your foot.
Right.
You know,
the glamorous side of being a rock star.
Where's your roadie?
I don't know. He's probably chasing.
Bender was off drinking somewhere.
Yeah. But I hear somebody behind me. He's like, "Hey, got a match?" And I turn around, and then I look down, and I'm like, "Oh, it's Dio."
He's like 4'1", right? He's from the Shire, isn't he, originally?
I don't know.
Turned around and I looked down could be the greatest way to describe the story.
Yeah, he's looking around, he can't see anything.
Hello?
Yeah. He looks down.
No, and he's like, "Put your stuff down, son." And he's like, "How old are you?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm 21." And he's like, "You did good out there." And he's like, "Proud of you." And he just kind of grabbed my cheek like he's like my grandpa and like gave me a kiss on the forehead.
That was the, been anointed. It's like a blessing, dude.
Like good job, you know, like almost like a slug in the shoulder or, you know.
It's like the metal version of being knighted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're a Sir Parker Lundgren.
Yeah, you're Sir Lundgren, bro.
Yeah, but, and then That was the only time I ever saw him. He passed away not too long after.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, Rev, I dropped one.
It's because you don't have headphones on.
It's because I don't have cans. It is, yeah. Actually. Mm-hmm. The psychological thing of not having cans on messed with me.
Wait, yeah. I didn't know
sorry,
that.
Sorry, everybody.
Did you start playing with Queensrÿche at 21?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been insane.
Yeah.
Just to like go from 0 to 100 when it comes to music right there.
Yeah, well.
How'd that even happen?
I played for Jeff before that.
Okay.
Yeah, and then actually you guys had a show where the headliner... I think the singer died. This is like, it was either the hangover ball or the Deck the Hall ball or something like that. And they called Queensrÿche to play last minute.
Oh, that was it Saliva couldn't make it? He hadn't passed away yet.
It might have been something like that. But yeah, Queensrÿche came in and filled in. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, I remember it was the night before, and Jeff got a call, and he's like, hey, can you learn like a dozen acoustic songs by tomorrow? Like,
no problem.
I'm like,
okay.
I think so. And he's like, all right, yeah, we'll do it, sort of thing. And
wow.
So I had to like run home and learn all these songs, then play the next night. And that was my first gig with them. Yeah, so that was December 2008.
Damn.
Yeah,
so 10 years.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah. I didn't know that you were 21 when that all started, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 32 now, or about to be 32, but yeah, so it's been a long time.
That doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Well, awesome, you guys. Again, this is all happening this Thursday. Check out some great music for a great reason. It's the Beating Heart, a benefit for Life Center Northwest, featuring our band, Bruiser Brody. We're going to be playing. Parker's going to be joining us on stage for a song as well. Siren Sister, White Only in the Wreckage, Jaundice, and also Intisar, they're going to be there as well. It's going to be a great time and a great experience.
Yeah,
and
come down and be a part
Legger.
Of this. Definitely come
yeah,
down.
Yeah, I mean,
and be
it doesn't matter if you are an organ donor, if you just believe in organ donation, or you want to come down and support Highway 99 Blues Club and their final few shows here, or you knew Joel or didn't know Joel, and if you just love rock and roll, man, just be there because it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a fun Thursday night, that's for sure. I'm looking forward to it. Glenn, what's going on in your world, my man? I haven't seen Rav either. I haven't seen you guys in
it's been a
almost 2 weeks.
Man, I've been, Survive Live Day. I was up 23 hours that day.
Yeah.
Live
23
day was
right. Hours?
Yeah, man.
God.
We loaded out, and, how it is midday, because I slept just a few hours the night before, and so it was just kind of coffee, Red Bull, and then when I was too jittered, I just go do a shot of Jack Daniels, and
yeah, balances it out.
Get to zero. I never once was even slightly buzzed. I could have juggled chainsaws, man, but I had to ride this terrible wave of my skin's crawling. Okay, that's better. My skin's crawling.
I've
okay, that's better.
Yeah.
So, finally six hits. We survive Live Day. It's a riot. It goes off without a hitch. It's a really good time. Went and chatted with a bunch of fans and friends afterwards, which was just a great hang.
Nice.
Some listeners of the podcast. Love all the podcast listeners that I bumped into at Live Day, even if it was briefly. Man, I love you guys. You guys are like the best audience and the coolest people.
I agree.
It was just so cool. Man, the amount of love. And
except for Caesar.
cats rolling up like, oh, dude, when you told the story about wrecking your bike, and then you called my dad, your dad, and he told the same story, and just having lots of laughs and... so that was great. Hung for a few, had a few drinks, and then, Tony and I headed home, and I think I was in bed by 8 o'clock, but I had drank so much Red Bull and had so much coffee.
You're just laying there.
I was awake until, 3 or 4 in the morning, just watching movies. Tony was out cold, and I was just laying in bed wide awake watching movies, so I was up for,
That explains those really weird text messages I was getting that night.
Oh, dude, yeah. Well, and then I was 3 or 4 days reeling from that, but I've really been dug into basically the pre-production side for my record. If all goes well,
nice.
We're hoping to be starting tracking January 6th, and I'll know that. I'll get a final on that soon. Just working around everyone's schedules and then trying to find a room that's available.
I got a garage. You can just come down
here.
Yeah,
it might end up being, me with an 8-track and your garage, dude.
I got some carpeting on the floors. We'll put some on the wall. We'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be right, out. Man. I promise not to steal your giant Yoda when I split. I've been really dug into that. And then, of course, I've been trying to make a lot happen for this. I've been rehearsing with you guys, for Bruiser Brody, and You know, I actually, so I've got Thursday night, I've got this event, which I'm looking forward to. Then Friday night, I'm part of All Star Porn Jam.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's the benefit show for Northwest Harvest and Paws.
Mm-hmm. And they do two nights.
They run two nights, and I'm performing both nights. So I do this Thursday.
So you folks got a busy weekend.
Yeah.
Wow. You got some shows to go to.
Right? Sunday, I'm just going to get fetal and, you know.
Just chill out,
that's kind of what's going on, man. But things are really good, man. I got to be... You know, for everyone out there, I mean, this program, we usually talk so close to the heart and really open up, for the most part, about things that are going on, positive or negative. And I got to say, the past couple months, I've been more centered and happy than I've been
good
probably in over
good,
a decade.
Man.
It's the Harley Davidson.
That's part of it. Harley Davidson's part of it, but yeah.
I put
a stop to some things that were just beating the life out of me, and I was really...
Yeah, our Sunday cuddles are gone.
Yeah, right, right. Oh, well, you know how it is, man.
Glenn got tired of being the little spoon. I get
you,
it.
He doesn't like my choice of movies.
You guys know me anyway, right? But you,
The Devil Wears Prada.
I started putting myself at the top of my decision-making process, and it's a shame it took me my entire life to figure that out.
Sometimes it's hard to do, though, man.
No, dude, I did everything based on what I thought would make other people happy and never gave myself a second to even breathe. And finally I went, look, if people get upset, they're going to get upset, but I can't go on this way. I was like in the middle. I pretty much had a nervous breakdown, you know? And so I just said, look, this is how it's going to be on a go forward. And honestly, everyone around me responded to that in a very positive way.
I could just see you know? Just like running around like Fight Club in a bathrobe in your boxers, just running around the place. It's like, I got to do this for me. And everyone's like, all right, man, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right, riding cool, a bicycle sweet. Through my house, you know.
Do not understand what I'm saying. I'm doing this for me.
Yeah, I am Glenn's liver. It's cool, I am man, scarred no over. No. It really helped me. I don't know. I'm just like in a new chapter of my life, and things have been really, really, really good, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's the abridged version of it, but yeah, it's I'm in a good place for the first time in a really long time, and I'm no lie. Like I hit the wall pretty hard. And everything after that moment's been good. So, nice. Like, I lay awake happy, man. Like, I'll be riding
Instead
up the road literally
out.
Saying yeah. the word thank you out loud, you know. Like, it's pretty good. I'm doing good.
Nice.
Of course,
nice.
I'm going to walk out of here and a piano's going to fall on me. But,
yeah.
You know.
Knock on for Micah.
I need you to be through the front door. That's how we planned it.
Okay, cool. Are you doing the safe or the piano?
Oh, you know, we'll find maybe just a giant Acme box.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You never know what you're going to get.
That's right, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? It's been funny because, Steve, you went on a whirlwind world tour, going everywhere on the vacation we had.
7 days with my family.
I barely left the house. I played so many
Staycation.
Video games. Yeah.
Fortnite.
No Fortnite.
I mean, not Red Dead Redemption.
I played Red Dead Redemption. I played Fallout. And I played so many video games. Like, it was just wonderful.
Are you still alive in Red Dead Redemption?
What do you mean?
Well, I've heard about people developing characters, and then they just run around doing bad stuff, then they get tuberculosis and die.
Oh, no, yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
I'm
that's
still,
kind of a drag,
I'm still
you know?
Going pretty good with it. So far, I haven't Oregon trailed it. I haven't gotten dysentery and died yet.
Okay, yeah, I'm just checking on you.
Yeah.
Virtual you, I want
right?
to be safe
I remember
and happy.
That, man.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Oregon Trail.
Yeah. And it was pretty chill on that. Thanksgiving was insane because since we got the new house, and you've been there, Glenn,
yeah,
so you know
yeah.
how big it is, we had the whole family at our house.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and that's essentially what Michelle wanted to do, and we had, I think, about 16 or 17 people in the house, which...
Good Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Michelle was freaking out, but I was...
How many meltdowns?
In a bathroom, riding a bicycle through the house?
Yeah, we've got one bathroom, zero meltdowns. Like, I don't know
That's
how...
That's impressive.
I don't know how that happened.
That's impressive.
Like,
That's because I made stool in the sink.
It yeah. was... Oh, it was... like
Everyone pooped in your fridge.
I almost... There's not enough room in the fridge. It's a tiny fridge. I hate that thing. I almost was the only one that had the meltdown.
Shocking.
Because there was a definite 2 p.m. told start time for serving dinner, and dinner did not start until 5. And
Whoa.
So it was just one
three
of the
hour delay.
Yeah,
that's my mom cooking.
No, what happens is,
that
and,
did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did.
Does she listen to the show?
I hope not, especially after today's episode.
Right? The only the issue that came down to it was like people asking Michelle, hey, can we use your oven to heat things? And she's like, yeah, that's no problem. We've got a turkey oven, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah. People's, when they say to heat something, it means, can we bring the ingredients to cook something? Mm. Which is not in the plan at all.
Not to me. To heat something means I'm going to need to keep this warm until
it's made in the dish.
Put it in the oven to warm it up.
Can I microwave it or use the oven for a second?
That is not how that works.
Oh, they wanted to fully cook it.
Yeah, so there's a couple things that were like, we're not making that because you just brought the ingredients. And we got down to it, and there was a bunch of food beforehand,
but the main course didn't happen. Dinner at Rev's, just show up with like some celery, carrots, and like some
flour.
Some beef bones. Like, dude, I was going to make a, you know.
I'm sure you were. Yeah, get out there and go get some takeout, buddy.
Rev's like, we're ordering a pizza.
But yeah, other than that, it was beautiful. It worked out perfect. Like, it was fun to see my family and Michelle's family come together for the first time, really. So it was really fun.
At your house?
Yeah, at my house.
You sat at the head of the table?
No, we just all sat around wherever.
I don't think it's a proper Thanksgiving with that many people without a good meltdown, though.
Yeah, I was close. I started getting a little sassy.
There was only four of us at my Thanksgiving, and my dad had a meltdown.
No, the people who were vegan supplied their own. So there was a field roast that was not cooked.
It was like a year or so ago. Didn't you have to attend a vegan... like they fed you hay and air or something?
One of the first...
You get that at Whole Foods.
One of the first Thanksgivings I went to was with Michelle's family, and it was more of a Friendsgiving because her parents like literally went to Hawaii and said, we're not doing Thanksgiving.
I respect that.
But you can use our house. So we used their house for it, and one of the people there brought a crustless apple pie.
Was it good?
It was apple soup. Like, no, it wasn't. It wasn't good. It was in a tin, and it was just soup.
I just remember at the time, you riffed hard about having to attend this vegan Thanksgiving. It was like a point of major contention,
It was very weird. Like, it was like my first experience with all of that. I mean, there was turkey, but there wasn't a whole lot of turkey because there were so many people there who just flat out did not eat meat. And I'm like...
But why is it that the vegetarian and vegan thing that they want all their food to taste like meat?
Well, the problem is...
Or look like meat.
My wife is vegan.
This veggie burger tastes just like a hamburger.
Rev and I were out front of the place reenacting the end of Apocalypse Now. He's like holding that calf and I'm hacking its head off. You
know? I eat meat!
Well, that was me a couple Thanksgivings ago. I go over to my sister's place, right? And they got all their own poultry.
Did you hack up an animal?
They got quails and turkeys and, you know, they got a whole bunch of stuff on. And they were like, yeah, we're going to kill our own turkey. And my brother-in-law, he's like, all right, come on, city boy. Hands me a 9mm.
No.
And he's thinking that I can't do this. And I was like, no, I grew up in the hood, man. I grabbed the turkey. I put my knee on the back of its head.
Put a pillow on its face.
I thought the trick was to grab him by the head and just spin him. And then this got weird.
Dude, if I show up to a Thanksgiving, they're like, you're going to kill the turkey before you eat. I'm like, yo, I'm just going to salad.
Yeah, Steve out there crying.
So I take a picture of this thing, and I'm holding it up with the gun to its head, and I send it to Joel, and he's just like, we're all really worried about you, man. And I'm like, whatever, enjoy.
They gave you a handgun to kill the turkey, man. Like,
that's all we have, man.
And then you should let it loose. Like, so I've got 14 tries, right? You know?
Oh, it's like,
killed the wrong animal.
Yeah. No, it was pretty funny.
Getting your car, drive by.
I was like, whatever, you guys, don't judge me while you're eating your hormone stuffed turkey. My stuff's free range.
I'm going to put him on a horse with a bow and arrow.
it didn't range free for very long, though, not when I was behind the nine.
Jesus.
I thought when you said I'm from the hood, I thought you were going to do a drive-by or something.
Right. I'm like, hold on, let me get in my old Chevy Impala.
No, man, all the smart gangsters use Prius.
Oh, my bad. That's true.
Yeah, can't hear it coming.
Can't hear it go. It's sneak up on you.
Pop, pop. Yeah. So anyway, Rev, that was your Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was great. That's fantastic. Didn't have to murder any
animals. Anything else? You just chilled at home and enjoyed life.
I totally chilled.
So you had a week off?
We had 10 days
We had 10 days.
That's incredible.
I think actually one thing I did I was able to go see Beetlejuice in a theater. They did a Friday Night Frights. There's a Blue Mouse Theater in Tacoma. They do it like once a month. They do a horror movie on the screen. And I was able to see Beetlejuice with a whole bunch of people dressed up.
On the big screen.
Not bad. Which is really fun because... because I had never been able to do that. So it was fun to see old movies like that and be able to do that. But other than that, I did not leave the house.
I respect that, dude.
Dude, I spent most of my time with my parents looking through old pictures and finding that I have a weird...
some of the great pictures,
yeah,
man.
Apparently I like to wear overalls all the time when I was a kid.
There was a very, very constant really? Theme of like shortalls and pictures. Overalls.
Do we have like a picture of Steve wearing bib overalls with a little baby hog under his arm and no shirt on? Did we have that photo?
There was with cowboy hats in it, so I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
So there I am dressed as Shazam with my brother.
Shazam!
So yeah. That, see, red overalls in that picture.
Nice.
Lady
I think your parents might have been responsible for
this
that.
This is a good one. This could be the,
you actually have a drum.
I'm playing a drum. I have a stick in my hand, and I'm wearing overalls. Short overalls. That's just, that was my look, apparently.
We want to prepare our boy to be a laborer. He doesn't seem that sharp.
And this is my favorite picture I ever had. It's on my Instagram, if you just type, I'm Steve Miggs. And and the caption I wrote was just like, I think I wrote, you ladies want a party?
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is the picture.
It's a fantastic one.
Oh, I saw that picture.
Yeah.
You guys look at my face. And it just looks like I'm about to hurl. And then the faces of all the girls. And these are all sisters that live right next door, the Zavinos.
They're not having it.
No, they're just like,
it almost looks like, because your mouth looks full, it looks like you stole all their candy and you're standing there basically eating it. And they're standing there like, I can't believe Steve took all our food.
Was it me?
Girls want to party?
Rocking that party hat.
I like to party.
And then there's one of me and, wait, I can find out. There I am rocking my cowboy outfit again.
Nice.
Yeah, just can't go
this
wrong.
The mainstay for
Steve. I know you guys
Steve.
Like wearing chaps. I mean, do you have those kind, though?
No. Nobody likes wearing chaps, man.
No, it seems like a process. Even last night when you were done playing with us and you had to bail out before our practice was over, and I'm watching, I'm like, it's taking Parker 30 minutes just to get everything on.
Oh, you think that's
motorcycle.
Bad? You should watch Glenn put his gloves on.
Oh, no, that was, dude, so we all went down to the Central to have a drink.
Are we not acquitting?
Oh, man, right?
Yeah, no, yeah,
if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. But I was standing at the bar talking to Ed, and Parker, Freddie, and Phil, Parker's like, I got to get going. I'm like, cool, man. And they bounced out, and I heard the bike start. I truly didn't realize they were waiting for me. They're like, well, we're not going to roll out without Glenn. So I'm in there chatting with Ed. And finally, this girl comes in. She's like, your friends are waiting for you. And I was like, oh. But, you know, it's like 38 degrees out. So I come out. I put my little ninja mask on. I put my helmet on. I put my first layer of gloves on. I put my second layer of gloves on. Like, this whole thing is going down, this whole process of me garbing up so I don't freeze to death on the way home. And finally, I just look at Phil, and he's shaking his head and just staring at the ground as this whole, like, five-minute roping.
Up.
Well, dude, man, it's I still have the little chart somewhere. It shows speed and then the wind chill that creates. And when you get below 40 and you get up around 60 or 70, it's cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. so like, mm-hmm. yeah, man, I took a minute to layer up, but it was kind of amusing. Like, yeah, you know, I felt bad. I didn't know you guys were waiting on me, man. I thought I'd hear you just roll away. And yeah,
man, we want to roll
out. I just realized
appreciate
we're at the Central,
that.
So that's, you know, that's another thing.
Right, right. Well, we could have probably went for another round the way that was headed. You know, yeah, yeah.
Also, one last thing before we go. I know a lot of people mentioned this when I posted the picture, and I thought it was hilarious. I ended up getting a Cookie Puss ice cream cake.
Oh, dude.
At Carvel.
Oh, so
and
chill.
No one stole
Carvel.
It this time?
There were so many people posting. I'm like, I realize how many podcast listeners we have when people are posting, did anyone steal this one?
Dude.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah, the first Migs Fest, we went on this big riff about Carvel on the show. And someone brought Steve a Cookie Puss ice cream cake, which was not easy to acquire here.
It's
in
impossible
Washington.
To get here. My wife tried, and she could not get one flown out.
Can you find the audio of the Carvel Cookie Puss? Because Parker just said, "What's that?"
Oh,
so there are these from the late 70s, early 80s. Carvel Ice Cream Company made these screwball ice cream cakes.
They're like horror movies.
This is what it looked
dude,
like.
Dude, and they had these had these really goofy, terrible, low-budget commercials.
That were like sound like an acid trip.
Yeah, if you grew up on the East Coast,
I think
you,
I might have it.
You're super familiar with these right. commercials.
Let's see. Okay, Glenn, I'm going to see if I can play it here.
Oh, wait. Yeah, put your cans on there, Parker, so you can hear this nonsense.
I'm the rescue person from outer state. My real name is Cookie Puss.
That's Cookie Puss.
But my friends call me CP. I'm a Carvel ice cream
cake. In 79, this was
state of at participating Carvel ice cream stores. Yeah.
Octopus will be at your participating Conrail ice cream stores.
They're the dumbest low-budget commercials.
Yeah.
This is the next Bruce and Brody album.
I know, right? Right? Well, so we went on this huge tear about Cookie Puss, like, on the show.
I mean, we went deep to the point where, like, during the holidays for St. Patrick's Day, they changed the color. They used, like, a green ice cream, and they called him Cookie Opus.
Well, yeah, you know, respect that Irish heritage.
Little green food dye. It's a marketing ploy.
So there was a Carvel in...
Where was Steve. The Carvel at? Did they have it shipped here?
Shipped here from the East Coast.
Yeah.
Shipped here for Mixfest. Just Mixed
in a bucket of dry
Steve.
Ice or something.
Is it still good?
Someone stole the cake, bro. Someone stole the cake from Mixfest, the first Mixfest, which was the big concert and Steve's birthday all rolled into one. Someone stole that.
It was the second
puss.
Mix Fest because the last international. Yeah, last international were there because I remember they
did
were like
they steal cookie puss.
I walked. They could have
scandal.
I walked back into the backstage area of the Studio 7. They're like, "What do you got there?" I'm like, "You guys will appreciate this because you're from New York." And they're like, "You got cookie puss?" They were freaking out about
they
it too.
It.
So then I put it on. We had a party bus from Lion Pride that was on and like hanging out for us to go just be stupid on that bus as well. So I put it on there. I blacked out at some point. Because it's my birthday.
Happy birthday, dude.
And all I remember is by the time we got back to my house, I'm like, well, let me grab Cookie Puss, because I thought for some reason it was still frozen. And it was gone. Somebody stole Cookie Puss.
And it wasn't like the box was there, but now empty because people had eaten it.
No.
It was like
was
someone
gone.
Straight up jacked Cookie Puss.
Someone
dude.
Went on the bus and stole Cookie Puss.
Was this a Studio 7?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Freddie got it.
I was just going to say, I think it was Freddie.
Do you think really it was Freddie?
Cookie Puss is on his hands.
He walks room, there's melted ice cream everywhere. Freddy's like, I think I killed someone last night.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
He comes on the bus. I hear there's ice cream cake.
I think I killed this Cookie Puss guy last night, man. So Freddy, that's ice cream. Are you sure?
He was supposed to come with us today, and he, you know,
yeah, what happened?
Oh, he
didn't want to face Cookie Puss.
Maybe that's
you know?
Why.
I can't look Steve in the eye, guys.
All of a sudden, he woke up. He's like in a panic. He's like, wait, that guy's the one who had the Cookie Puss.
Gone.
And Ed, I disagree. The cake was incredible because we got it in New York. We brought it back. I wasn't even going to get it.
It's like an ice cream cone nose, you know, those little waffle cones.
Yeah,
and
it looks
stuff.
Terrifying.
Like, I've never had one, but I remember those commercials from as a kid, dude.
It's just ridiculous. It's just a full on ice cream cake. It's got two ice cream cookie sandwiches as the eyes and then an ice cream cone with pistachio ice cream as the nose.
Ooh.
Well, it's funny too. You can tell where people grew up because Ed's from Boston originally.
Yeah.
And you get diabetes.
As soon as you said Cookie Puss, you know,
happily.
Parker and Phil are like, huh? And you just see Ed looking at the floor shaking
like,
his head.
Cookie
like,
Puss.
Oh my God.
He's like,
really?
So many nightmares before the sixth grade.
Yes.
Hey, Ed, it's me, Cookie Puss.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't call me CP. Yeah,
that's really good.
They even got to have an ice cream cone there as well. Yeah, it was a great time. New York was awesome.
Dude.
Minus my mom almost getting run over and my dad almost getting us into a riot.
No, man. Dad, when I ran into Steve, you know, we got together last night. We're chatting. I'm like, dude, how was your trip? And then how was Orlando? And I forget how you phrased it, but I laughed hard. It was like a gut laugh. It was something like, oh, that was our reward for surviving 7 days with my parents.
Yes.
But you said it without a smile. You said it stone-faced, like I would say water is wet.
Yeah.
And I lost it. Because I could tell it was like, oh, dude.
And I love them. And you guys know it.
Some ass.
I obviously love my parents. Mm-hmm. They're the greatest people in the world. But 7 days when you haven't seen them, and they just want to accommodate so much and so nice. But it's like, dude, we had lunch while they were gone, because my dad had some doctor's appointments. They come back at 3, and they're like, are you guys hungry? We're like, no, we had lunch, because it's 3, and we already ate. And they're like, well, we got us some Chinese food, so you're going to have to eat again. There was no...
You have to.
So all of a sudden, now I'm having a second lunch. And then I'm like, well, then we're having pasta for dinner with lobster. It's like, it was incredible. But I'm like, I'll just have a couple scoops of the... a couple forks full of pasta.
No.
7 scoops. Yeah. And it's like this giant bowl.
Take another plate full, Steve.
And I'm like, I still got to eat lobster. And I mean, you know, life sucks. I'm eating lobster. But it was a struggle because
I'm sorry, Steve.
Dude. My mom does not understand that. Like, I just want to eat like a normal meal.
It's a thing, though, man. Like, and I think as a kid, you just kind of sit there and take it. But as an adult, I don't know about you, but I have a threshold, and because I'm grown, I won't just take it.
Yeah.
And you met my folks who had them on the show. They're amazing people. And during their trip, I had to I had to basically...
I've had enough.
I had to plant a flag, bro.
Yeah.
There was an incident, and I had to shut it all down.
Uh-huh.
I was the last one to yell.
Yep.
After that, it was real quiet. And then we all went to dinner with friends that they were meeting for the first
Did
time.
Did you sing Jingle Bells after that?
Awkward. No, it was super awkward. It was real quiet.
Ooh.
Everything, it sucked. It was real awkward, man. And then afterwards, it's like, guys, I'm so sorry. And it was a real ridiculous thing, man. Dad wanted to take his Buick because it's more comfortable for him.
Mm-hmm.
The wipers were fouled up. It was cold out. The windshield was all fogged up. Mom got in. Oh, my God, the wipers don't work. So she started riffing on Dad. Dad didn't want to hear it. And I said, hey, guys, it's no big deal. Just crack the window. And I started to pull out. And, okay, this isn't going to defrost. And my driveway is right next to a church. So I'm trying to go 30 feet from my driveway exit, 25 feet from mm-hmm. my driveway exit to the parking lot of this church so I can get out and wipe off the windshield. Between my driveway and the church, it escalated to the point where my dad went, I'm going to get effing pissed off. And then when he yelled
that. It's good to warn about that.
When he yelled that, I went, Jesus effing Christ. Whole car went quiet. And I was like, all I wanted to do was get 30 feet up the street. What's wrong with you people? And I get out and I wipe off the windshield and I'm looking at him through the glass and my eyes are huge, you know? You know, and then I get back in the car and it's real quiet.
Only I can have meltdowns.
Dude, and at that point I was like, oh no. Now I've done it.
Yeah.
No, man.
You took it to that level.
And then all the way there, I'm like, guys, it's not a big deal. Let's enjoy each other's company. There's no reason to behave this way. There's no reason for this to escalate. Let's just have a nice night, please.
Goose from.
But at that point, I had done the damage.
Yeah.
And it was like 2 hours of, man, this is really uncomfortable.
On a special episode of Dinner with the Cannons.
Oh, God. And my sister's that. Because my sister gets to see, she still lives in Maryland. She gets to see him all the time. So it's great. Every time I get to hook up with my folks for a while, my sister will, you know, do the follow-up phone call. Yep. She's like,
How was it?
And I'm like, it was awesome. I never get to see him. You don't understand. I miss him so much. You know, I love him. I miss him.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, uh-huh.
How was it?
So how was it?
Yeah. I want to know the dirt.
At some point, she knows something came off the rails.
I yelled Jesus effing Christ once. It was that. Other than that, it was good.
Just once. Outside of a church.
It's one of those things where in the moment it had the desired effect. The bickering ended instantly, but so did everything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sucked the life out of the whole night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm looking at my wife for solace. Like, I did the right thing, right?
She's just not looking
she
at you.
She won't look me in the
yeah,
eye.
Yeah.
Like,
no. See, my wife.
And no one expects it because I'm a big, sweet, teddy bear of a guy, but then I'll freak. I'm Confrontation Glenn, you know, man? And then, dude, I felt so bad.
That explains why Tawny and Tanya get along so well.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's funny because like when I get frustrated with my parents, which doesn't happen a bunch, but every once in a while it's like, okay, like I'm eating, and my dad's like, eat some more. I'm like, I just had three bowls of spaghetti. I'm still chewing, and there's still more to go. Like, chill out. But when I get a little frustrated, I just get quiet. Like, I just shut down with them because I'm like, I don't want to get into an argument. It's my parents. I love them. I don't want this to be a bad time. So I just chill out. And then I just leave it to my poor wife is stuck having conversations, like trying to.
Oh, you like abandon her, basically.
I'm there, but I'm checked out.
Done.
And I just give her the look like, it's on you.
I like to picture this whole time as like a Hansel and Gretel situation where they're just shoving food into your face.
It reminds me.
It is.
You said it like with Thanksgivings, there's always some kind of a blow up. And I can't tell you how many big family meals where the whole table finally was just quiet because things had escalated beyond. It's the Cannon family, man. But my father and I, even when I was like 11, we'd sit there and shoot each other a knowing glance like, yep, everyone's crazy. You okay, Dad? I'm okay, son.
Yeah.
Like, we would just look at each other quietly and eat, man.
You had The Shining?
Yeah, totally. Just kind of look at each other like, you good, bro? Yeah, man.
Awesome. I think we're going to wrap things up. Just because I'm tired, man.
Yeah.
It's been a long.
What time did you get home from rehearsal last night, dude?
Oh, crap. What did we finish around
we
like 8?
We wrapped right at 8.
Yeah, it was probably like 8:45-ish. Yeah,
did you go straight to bed?
No, I had a shower. I stunk.
Well, playing the drums.
Yeah,
I mean,
I was just a sweaty mess. I didn't realize
he
did.
He played his ass off last night.
It was fun.
It was fun, man. And Travis, dude, we hadn't, you know, be on live.
It was like we were having a live show just for ourselves.
Dude, Travis was.
That's awesome.
He got in his headspace and was just jumping around that room, wailing, man. Like it was. It's hard not to have fun with that kind of energy in the room.
He does.
Yeah, I think
energy.
He just needed to get it out. Like if you remember his performance at Live Day,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, whoa, you know, he just.
came unglued vocally. Yep. Switch, it was amazing. Uh-huh. And he walks off stage. He's like, bro, it's great seeing you. I'll catch you later. I'm like, God.
Gotta get
dude,
it out.
I love you. Yeah, Travis is such a force, man. He's such a force. I have so much love and respect for that guy. Come see him sing Thursday night.
Oh, and the record's out, man. We haven't been here since the record came out.
Yeah, you dorks.
That's right. Sorry. Phil's well aware that our record is out.
Yes. Yeah. But one of the songs. What's the name of that song again,
least,
Phil?
At least the single.
Yeah.
I love you, Alex. Thanks for that, dude.
Yeah, album's out now, so you can get on Apple Music, get on iTunes, stream on Spotify.
January 19th.
Yep, January 19th. I'm sure we'll have copies at the show this Thursday.
Yeah.
It's been great. The feedback has been phenomenal. It's been getting some really nice messages. We'll get into them more next week when I have emails printed and stuff like that. But I've read
all of our voicemails. Love you guys for all the voicemails. Yep. We'll get to them, I promise.
Yep, next Sunday. Tuesday. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Is Ziggy's child born yet? And did he name his child Cahans?
That's right.
Yes.
Man, it's been too long. I've forgotten about that.
No, because Phil was hitting me up for details about the podcast. And so I pulled it up and I was like, man, I'm 37 episodes behind. I haven't been able to listen to our show in a while.
Cahans.
And the first episode available was Cahans with a question mark. That laughed so hard when I saw that, man.
We do have a text message from Ziggy. So I'll just read that one from
Did he name his child Cahans?
He said, hey, Mixcast, it's official. I'm a dad. My boy was born on the 12th at 9:43 p.m. No name yet, but holy F nards, this kid has huge hands.
F nards Cahans.
Ziggy, man, congratulations, bro. Seriously, congrats, man.
Let's see if he leave in the. Oh, he even left us a voicemail. So we'll let's check out one voicemail. This is from Ziggy. Let's see.
Listen, this is Paul Stanley from Kiss. Now, listen, I went to the doctor yesterday, and you know what? There was a nurse there, and she wanted to see if I was running a temperature. So she just shoved her hands. Yeah.
He couldn't make it.
Down the front of my jeans to check my meat thermometer. And you know what she found? She found out that I was hotter than hell. Sorry, had to do that. Love you guys. Bye.
Nothing about his kid. Just that.
I love that when he said Cahans, he couldn't stay in character. He just started laughing, man.
I love that he never even said it was Ziggy. I just still, from him calling so much, I programmed it into the Mixcast voicemail line. It just says Ziggy, so I knew it was him.
Congrats, Ziggy, for real. That's rad,
seriously.
Bro.
Congrats on your baby boy, Cahans.
Baby boy, Cahans.
It's awesome.
Just make his middle name Cahans, please.
Oh, real quick, dude. How about this? So we go home to New York. We're like, let's try and find something to do, like find a show to go to. I kick myself. The day we already had plans that night, but I get a message from Will Andrews. And freaking Walking Papers.
New York when you were there?
We're playing New Jersey. Like maybe 20 minutes from my parents' house.
Oh, dude.
And it was like the one night where we couldn't get away. Like if it was the night before or the night after. I know he was playing in New York, but
you
it would have been
blown
too much.
Up and needed to do some damage control.
And that was part of it. It was like, we need to leave the house. Like we just need to get away and just have like us time. And it was like nothing was going on bad. It was just like, we just need to get out and just, you know, enjoy being on vacation. And I was like, I wonder if there's any cool shows. And so I'm like, oh, that's cool. Miles Kennedy's playing. I never even put two and two together that the Walking Papers were playing with them. And then I got a message from Willie. He's like, hey, man, I'm in New Jersey, too. We're playing in Asbury. I was like, ah, man, of course it's the one night where we can't pull it off. That would have been pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, man.
And then we looked like, oh, who else is playing? The Hold Steady, which is the music that we play at the end with Stay Positive. And it's actually their, I think, 10-year anniversary of that record coming out. So they're doing that whole album. And they did four nights in Brooklyn while we were getting on a plane to Orlando. So we couldn't even catch one of the shows. I was like, we got so excited for a second. We're like, oh, this will be awesome. We'll go see the Hold Steady. It's a band that we both love. Couldn't happen because, of course,
in Orlando, you just did Disney? You didn't do...
We did Universal.
Did you do like Twilight Zone, The Ride, and all that good stuff?
Oh, the Tower of Terror?
Yeah, man. Yes. That's cool, dude.
It was my daughter's favorite ride.
Dude, the Tower of Terror in Disney World is way better. I know it's no longer in Disneyland. It's Guardians of the Galaxy ride. But in Disney World, and I had a fight, well, not a real fight, but we had an argument, a spirited argument about the ride. Because it was like...
Spirited.
Because I'm like, dude, that was way different than the Florida one. I don't remember ever the elevator actually moving like a roller coaster and going further out to in the building. Yeah. And she's like, oh, you just haven't rode in a while. I'm like, no, I swear. So I go on internet and find out that the Disneyland version doesn't have the quote-unquote fifth dimension, which is that part of the ride that Disney World has.
Entering the fifth dimension.
So yeah. I, of course, let her know that she was wrong for the rest of the vacation.
you were wrong about that?
Google but then again,
it, Steve, do you want something to eat? Not until you admit that you were wrong but about...
I really couldn't rub it in her face because I'm also the one that tried to get us to stay in an Airbnb that was legit a crack den.
Nice. Were you on the other side of Orange Blossom Trail?
Bro.
That's the thing about Orlando. It is so clean and nice and spectacular. And when you go past like Church Street and Orange mm-hmm. Avenue and cross under the freeway onto Orange Blossom Trail, it is like going into RoboCop's Detroit.
Yes.
But you go from like Disney to armed yes. transsexual hookers.
No, that's exactly what happened.
It's crazy.
No, that's exactly what happened.
It is. I'm glad to know it hasn't changed because that in and of itself is like a ride. Like, hey, man, you want to go down to OBT? Sure, why not?
Okay.
You
know,
and when you cross under the freeway, it is a different world. I mean, it's crazy, man.
We were driving. I'm like, oh, it's not going to be that bad. And what a bargain. And then we kept driving.
What
like,
a bargain.
Okay, 3 miles. We're still a couple miles away. And then finally, it was like that turn happened. Like that switch. I'm like.
You crossed Orange Blossom Trail, like, baby.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Then we pull up to the spot that we're going to be staying at. And I'm just like.
Oh,
this
no.
doesn't
this
look
is
like
bad.
This doesn't look like the pictures in the Airbnb.
This doesn't look like the pictures.
This is how horror movies start.
We get into the elevator and it smells.
It's Brad Pitt's trailer from California.
Dude, it smelled like Brad Pitt's crotch in the elevator. I was like, this is bad. We get into the room. I'm like, well, maybe the room is nice. You know, that's all that matters.
It's like
you got
blood
me.
On the curtains.
Well,
I mean, there wasn't blood on the curtains, but there was something that made the floor sticky because the minute we walked in,
oh, no.
every step I took, I could hear.
It's just flypaper.
Right. Then we go into the bedroom, and the mattress has a giant white stain on it.
It's just
the comforter.
That could be lotion. You don't know.
It could be.
It puts lotion on the skin.
It could even be detergent that didn't process properly.
I was staying in this hotel once, and I'm laying on the mattress, and I look up at the ceiling, and there's feet prints.
That's impressive.
That is impressive.
I'm like, man, we got to get a different room.
That's just
sure you weren't home.
Anyway, kind of made me feel like I was at home.
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't do that. What the?
We never even sat. Like, we wouldn't even sit in the room.
That was just that you were out.
I messaged the person. I'm like, hey, I'm not using the room. It's disgusting and blah, blah, blah. And they were cool. They refunded us. But,
which is amazing.
Which I was shocked. Like, I thought for
That's
sure.
cool.
I thought for sure. I was like, oh, this was my
Look,
fault.
The guy's like, yeah, this happens all the time.
They didn't even, right. There was zero push from them. They're just like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, we'll refund you. We don't typically refund people, but we'll refund you. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to sleep in a bed that has a giant white stain on it. Like, yeah. Call me crazy. I mean, I get well, it's no,
Orlando's weird. I mean, all the way up. Like East Colonial, all those areas in around Lake Shoals. I mean, Cocoa Beach, it's yep. all like really nice.
Yeah.
And it is the most bizarre thing in the world. You cross under the freeway and it
is bad.
A total like yin yang stark difference.
Yeah.
But there's no bleed over.
No.
You know, it's like, yeah, it's in it because I haven't, it's been
kind of like Lake Washington Boulevard.
It's been 21 years, man. 21 mm-hmm. years since I've been in Central Florida and it's still,
yeah,
still. There.
Yeah, it was great, too.
It hasn't changed.
I bet people thought we were weird because we walked in with our luggage, and then all of a sudden they see us like 5 minutes later.
Right,
we're walking right back out with our luggage, loading it in the car, and getting the F out.
We were doing a bunch of shows going down the West Coast, and we stopped in, I think, Vacaville, if I'm saying that right.
Excuse me?
Vacaville, California, yeah. Which I think literally means cowtown in Spanish, Vacaville.
All right.
But we went into the Hawaii Hotel, and it was blistering hot. I remember that big time because I asked the guy, hey, man, the pool, it looks like the gate was closed to the pool. Guy didn't have good English. He just said, pool broken,
mm-hmm.
which was awesome because I went and looked at the pool, broken pool. Pool was empty. There was leaves in it, and there was a dead squirrel down in there.
It's broken.
Pool is broken.
Oh,
like,
man.
That was the best summation ever. You know what I mean? Pool,
yeah.
Pool broken. I'm like, yes, it is.
Dude, that reminds me actually of one thing that happened during this break. We were doing some...
Kill a squirrel?
No, but it
Did
was...
Did you break somebody's pool?
It was
Did you put your knee on the back and use a 9 and kill it and then eat
no!
it for Thanksgiving?
But it was, it was the broken English of no key. No key, sir. And it was because I needed to take a crap
oh,
and
no.
they wouldn't let me in the bathroom in Kent. And so I had to poop on the side of the of a building.
No, you didn't.
And the straight pool. Up.
Well, how do you forget this story, Rev?
Because I wasn't thinking about it, and then I just remembered
Wait,
about...
Wait, you pooped outside on a building?
Let's
yes.
Do it. Come on, man. Let's okay, do this. Let's do this. What?
So we were
I'm okay with going a couple more minutes.
We got all right, okay, yeah. Yeah.
So
come on.
We were
in Kent. There. It was Small Business Saturday.
Was it cold enough out that the poo steamed?
I don't remember that because I got away from that.
Does it have to be cold for that?
Sometimes it does. Yeah.
Different kind of steam.
In my experience.
So we were taking a trip out to there's this rock place called Jerry's. It does gems and
Jerry's Rock and Gem.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's got like dinosaurs and stuff. All it's really cool. It's actually really cool. So we're sitting there, and Michelle's taking forever looking at rocks and gems and stuff. And I feel a burbling, and it's just like I know what's gonna happen.
You have some coal to let out.
Yeah, this is a lot of years of this, and knowing what's gonna go down. Well, no worries. There's a gas station across the street. Run across the street. Oh, it's a gas station that just has the pumps, and there's a coffee shop that doesn't. Like no public restroom right on there. I couldn't get in or anything like that. I'm like, all right, fine. Well, there's a gas station around the way. Start walking to the gas station. The burbles hit again where I literally have to sit on the curb and wait it out so I can get back up and walk over.
I call that the second wave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get over there. I get across the street. Have to sit on the side, like basically on the side of the building and wait for my stomach to settle itself down.
Oh, dude.
I walk in there. Some dude's arguing with another guy, and I'm like, do you guys have a key to the bathroom? And he's like, no keys. And I'm like, what? And he's like, no keys, sir. And I'm like, all right. So I start walking out, and I realize, first off, I'm not going to crap my pants here. Like, I'm in Kent. There's like a 30-minute drive back to my house. So I went around the corner.
Well, this is perfectly normal in Kent.
I don't think anybody really thought anything different at that point. And I propped myself against, pulled down my pants, propped myself against the wall so I had enough leeway. So there was nothing.
What did you use for toilet paper?
I did not.
Oh, in the future.
I use
your socks, bro.
I
was not thinking at anything at that point, so I just basically did the deed. Got into the car.
If you needed third,
went
pass,
home,
yeah.
Took a shower, and it was all good, and just left a little pile there.
Little silence of the yams.
Yeah. Don't eat combos before you go on a road trip, guys.
Yeah, I
wow.
Note yourself.
Dude, I think about that video of that woman at the Tim Hortons that threw her poop at the cashier. Like,
I
you basically did kind of like that.
I had nowhere to go, nothing to do, nothing. Like, I had no choice but to do that my stomach was like, you're not going to make
this
it
happening.
Home, and
I'm
it's going to happen.
I'm picturing the version of the story where, like, a mega fan of the morning show just rounds the corner and is like, oh, hey, what's up, Rev? You know? And you're like, hey, man, how are you?
Don't worry about it.
Dude, can I get a selfie real quick?
You can take some DNA home with you. Just go ahead and go for it. Yeah, so that was probably the, I had kind of blocked that from my brain.
I think you did well, though.
I just wasn't going to crap my pants. I'm not going to do that.
Dude.
I'll just poop out there.
So I just got distracted because my Instagram, I found out I had a video blocked on Instagram.
What'd you do?
There's a stupid Britney Spears in Vegas video that when we went and saw Britney in Vegas, we posted a video.
Copyrighted.
She owns that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, apparently.
Denied.
So stupid. I'm going to argue. Delete.
What you should do.
Sorry, I posted a video.
Those are your first world problems.
Right? I'm done.
Damn it, Britney.
Screw this country. Go move to Canada where they don't block videos.
Britney Spears.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right. I wonder if they were going to do that to us with the Stone Temple Pilots thing, because it's like it's no different.
It's up on YouTube, right?
No, but I mean, what if on Instagram they say it's blocked and I say, can I dispute it because I got to play drums?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm in the band, dude. Look at the video.
There were so many great pictures of Glenn that surfaced from that moment.
Oh, gosh, yeah. They were incredible. There's some great pictures. That was still an awesome experience.
Oh, it was great.
It
was a really good time. That was like a bookmark in my life. Like, that literally was the end of a chapter.
There were moments where, like, every couple of days, I'd be like, I need to watch that video again and just remind myself of how awesome that was. Because
it was
like,
rad.
When else is that ever going to happen?
Right. Yeah. Nice. Such nice people. That was one of the coolest things about it is they really were nice and we had a great time,
and
chatting with them. And then even being on stage, it was like laughs and fun. Mm-hmm. That's the thing when I share that people with stories, like, they don't know you or I, and like Robert coming up to me and saying, "Hey man, don't be nervous." And I kind of laughed. I'm like, "Oh dude, I'm not."
Yeah.
And he laughed hard at that.
Yeah.
But you know, 30 seconds later, I'm like, "I wonder if I can push Dean over." And so I'm over there shoving on him, and you know, and he just started screaming, "Yeah!" at the top of his lungs. Yeah. Like, I didn't know if I was gonna be scared and stand there. I was like, "No, no, no, dude, this is what I do. I just haven't made any money at it."
So my hands down, my favorite picture that surfaced was the one that Rhiannon sent us, and that was the one that was just you soloing, and I don't even think that was when you were playing with STP, and you just have this like blank stare look on your face while you're soloing, like you're having a white light orgasm.
Huh? I'll have to find that photo.
Yeah.
I may have actually checked out for a moment. It's anything's possible.
Yeah. All right. So this Thursday night over at the Highway 99 Blues Club, go check us out. Bruiser Brody's going to be there. Parker's going to be playing with us as well. Siren Sister, Why and Only in the Wreckage, Jaundice, Intisar. And it's all for the benefit for Life Center Northwest, the Beating Heart, and big props to the West Seattle Wrecking Crew, everybody for coming down, hanging out with us today.
Thank you for having
and
us.
And we will see you guys on Thursday.
Be there.
And much love to our brother Ed Maloney and Highway 99 yes. Blues Club yes. as well.
Thank you guys.
Yeah. That place is awesome.
Love you, man.
Always it's a great experience there.
Important part of this city, so come down and spend some time there.
Yeah, come hang around us Thursday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah, we will be there.
Yes.
We'll rehearse even.
This well, you've already rehearsed, so yes. You're good.
No.
Watch this is the show that falls apart.
We'll just both. If we haven't fallen apart at the gig where I stepped on Travis's head, I think. Yeah. I think we'll make it. Oh, no, that happened, dude. We were
Tony
all,
B's in Everett.
We, yeah. Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
We were kind of in a bad place. That was the last, right after that, I really tapered off my drinking big time. But
well, yeah.
We were all.
Maybe that's for the best.
Dude.
Oh, but, my gosh.
That was the scary. One where,
four of the five members were losing their mind collectively on stage, and JT was staying sober for a month, and he had to experience the other four members just not really being all there.
Jim Clark got online and commented it was the first time he ever felt physically threatened by a band from the stage.
It was a great time.
Yeah, it was a good show.
All right, so we'll see you on Thursday, and stay positive.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.